This now is your Euro show here on Radio City Talk. This is Neil Atkinson, opposite me Dave Downey, and we've got Ian Salmon over there as well. And throughout all of this, what we're going to try and do is speak to people who've been attending the matches where possible, or experts in their field stroke country as we go. And our first two for this are going to be Craig Hannon, who's going to be on later on talking to us about Northern Ireland. He's still over in France. And we're going to be speaking to George Dugdale, who was there. He's come back. He's going back out again. George, as you know, has done shows with us before, works for BT Sport, but he's gone over as a supporter to see the Welsh. And George, it's probably the only big result so far, if you know what I mean, because games have sort of gone the way they've been broadly expected and there's not been a ton riding on them. Whereas you feel as though, George, that 3 points for Wales is absolutely huge in the context of that group. One more win and they could well go through top. One more point and they almost certainly go through. It's an enormous win.
Oh, talk like that's making me want to go back out there and get back on it. But no, it's a massive result. It was, looking at the fixtures with the group the way it is, England was always going to take care of itself. That's, out of the three, by far the least important in terms of the football side of it, because everything on that day will, it'll take care of itself and we'll give it a good crack. But Slovakia don't get beaten by many, and people thought that was a really easy fixture, and it was never going to be. So to get that result out the way early and get off to an absolute flyer in the group with the other two foreign as well was huge for us. And now we've got the momentum. We lost momentum at the end of the qualifying, and we lost it through the friendlies when we had injuries and players not involved. So to get that momentum back early and get the country behind it, and all the fans out there were unbelievable the other day, and for us to go into the second game top of the group, the impact I think it has mentally is really, really massive for us.
Dave, I mean, in the game itself, it was fair to say the first half performance probably meant that Wales deserved all 3 points. There was a tactical aggression about them, Dave, that Slovakia just couldn't live with in the first 45. They deserved to go in two, maybe even three ahead.
Yeah, I thought they were fantastic. It was real intensity to the game, and it stood out above anything else for me in that match, because I thought there might be a general trepidation. I mean, I think we spoke in the preview show on Thursday about how, you know, Wales hadn't kicked on since finishing their campaign, getting to the Euros, and you sort of thought the naivety and inexperience and not being at a big competition might set in, and you thought there was a weakness there in terms of possible mentality issues and things like that. And the way they come out, set out the stall, there was a definitive tactic from Coleman that we're going to set our stall out and do what we want to do. We're not sort of going to be affected by the opponents. We don't care who they are. And I think he's reiterated that in everything he said after the game and before it, that Wales are here to do what they want to do. It's not going to be their reaction to others, or they're not going to sit there and wait for to see what other teams do. They're going to go out and influence the games themselves. And very, very impressive. I thought the pressing game from the midfielders was fantastic. And the key thing for me, I know you're going to get onto it with George in a minute, but they won this game without their big guns, as in Bale and Ramsey, being particularly fantastic.
I think that what Dave's saying there, George, you know, in terms of the fact that Wales played like a football team who were going to define their own reality, I think is the key thing. You know, it wasn't, well, we'll wait and see and we'll play it by ear and all that sort of stuff. It's quite clear that Wales, I mean, the goal helps. A goal always helps because it gets everyone on board. But regardless, you felt as though Wales were going to play their way, going to play their football and just impose themselves, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and honestly, the way we set out surprised a lot of us there, because what we've done throughout qualifying and in these games against tough sides is we've been the team that sit back, we soak it up, and then we spring on the break. Excuse me. And we're playing Slovakia, who do exactly the same thing. And there was a real worry that it was going to be a nil-nil game where both teams, neither team want the ball, essentially. And I was just really pleased to see us take the initiative, be the team that wanted to go out there and make things happen, make the opportunities. And the intensity at the start, it built on what was coming from the crowd. It would have been really easy off the back of the anthem, which was an incredible moment for everyone in there. That emotion needed to drive the players on first 10, first 15, and they didn't sit back and let that all drain away. So the intensity at the start, like I say, it surprised us. We're not always the front foot team, but the idea that we could go out there and just say we're going to be the better side here was really, really reassuring. And now it means that we can go back in the next two games, and against England and against Russia, who after the draw, they have to come on to us now. It sets it up perfectly for how we want to play. And the other thing you've got to say is that we're so comfortable with what we do. There's no kind of misunderstanding among the squad that we're the best side in the world. We know what we do. These guys, I know you've got a lad at Real Madrid now, you've got lads in the Premier League, you've got Harry Robson-Kahn, who's a free agent. You've got people all over the place, but they've played together for years. This team knows exactly what it is. They've worked with the manager for years. They've played the same style for years. And whether we're kind of having to take the initiative in a game, be the counter-attacking side, dig in at 2-1, do whatever we have to, they've done it in one scenario or another. So this team is so comfortable with just going out there and looking after each other from 1 to 11. And seeing where it takes us.
I mean, Ian, that's what I took from it as well, what George just said there about the sense of togetherness in the Wales side is enormous. I mean, they weren't great second half. They probably, as I say, got in and deserved to be further ahead, and you felt like Slovakia were looking to impose themselves a bit more, Ian. But Wales, they had the sting in the tail right the way through the half. Slovakia, yes, they got the goal back, but you never felt as though they were peppering Danny Ward's goal. It was all playing in front of Wales, because this Wales side knew what to do, and as George says, knew how to look after each other. And I think that was probably the thing in the second 45 which was most impressive.
Yeah, I think it's a real team performance born of desire. It's one where they've gone in with no assumptions. No one has any assumptions of them. But as George has said there, they've known exactly what was expected, and they do work very much as a team. And as you said, obviously you've got Bale, obviously you've got Ramsey, you do have big names in there now, but it's not a team that's necessarily built on the big names. They're not there just for the big names. They are very clearly a unit who enjoy playing together and know what they should be doing at all times. They're playing as a very pure team, and the speed and the quality of football that they put in, you know, as somebody who's not watched them through the qualifiers particularly, I was surprised by how good they were, how strong they were. As you said, they should have been further ahead at half-time. And there's a lot of people talking about, you know, the England game's a done deal, you know, we'll do Wales. Wales are going to give us a lot of problems. Wales will give England a great deal to think about. And they can take that game, so they've shown that they can take that game. If you can wear down Slovakia, who are a very hard, tough, physical team, and come out with a deserved win, the sky's the limit as far as that group's going for them.
This is the extent to which George Bale's impressive, I think, is now, I actually think it's now understated. I think, you know, you look at he's slightly gone into people's shadow in Real Madrid. In fact, I'll go to Dave Downey first on this one. You know, going to Real Madrid's very much put him into Ronaldo's shadow, and also into Real Madrid's shadow, which is the way it should be. I mean, Real Madrid are an enormous football club. But, you know, you look at the numbers. I think the other thing as well is, you know, he's now being compared to Messi, to Suarez, to Ronaldo, and the numbers they get are obscene, and I don't think it'll ever be replicated what they're doing, at least not for the next 5, 10, 15 years. There isn't the next batch coming through, if you know what I mean, who can go at a goal a game. But Bale's going close to that, but also, unlike one or two of the players there you could have mentioned, he just adds to Wales. He doesn't distort it. It doesn't become the Gareth Bale show. His demeanour on and off the pitch is that he's one of this gang of lads. He's not, you know, very much he's the best player, and he knows he's the best player, and they know he's the best player, but he doesn't see himself as above them. And I think he comes across very, very impressively, as I say, both as a footballer but also as a person off the back of this.
Absolutely. I think there's a wonderful subtlety about how good he knows he is, and how that sort of transfigures into the rest of the team. I mean, you take Ibrahimovic, who we'll see as well.
Yeah, it's a great comparison.
Yeah, Ronaldo, obviously it's him plus the rest of the Portuguese lads. It's Zlatan plus the rest of the Swedish lads. With Gareth Bale, it's him with a team behind him. I think Ian's absolutely spot on. The collective unit of them, and the things that they know that they're good at, they know how to play with each other. That plays into what I think Gareth Bale is about. I think it suits him to be in Cristiano Ronaldo's shadow at Real Madrid. He's no shrinking violet, I don't think, but I think his temperament is excellent. You hear him speak, he's very well spoken. And he very much doesn't want to make it about him, because he knows it's about him anyway. It's very, very clever, I think, the way he's very dignified, I think, in how he presents himself to the media and when he's in and around the Wales squad by and large as well. And I think they fit like a glove, Wales and Gareth Bale. I think, you know, you had someone like him, if you were to put him, for instance, we always used to argue about how good Ryan Giggs would be if he played in the England side. I think if you look at how Gareth Bale fit into an England side, I don't think that would necessarily fit. I think this does for that number of reasons.
What I noticed was the sheer joy in him, George, when Wales make it there, when Wales make it 2-1, and he's nothing to do with it. The sheer unadulterated joy, he's piling on, he's screaming at them, George, he's screaming at them in the pylon. And it is like, you know, it's it, it, mentioned before, it didn't need Ramsey, it didn't need Bale. These lads, they sorted it out for them. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, he's able to be sort of impressive in those senses. It doesn't feel like, you know, he's often calling for the ball and people aren't passing it to him. And he's not throwing his arms up. He's not saying, yep, you should be doing what I'm saying. He acknowledges that his teammates are making other decisions and that they can see things that he can't see. And there's a real, you know, there's obviously an ego to him because you've got to have an ego to be the sort of footballer he is. But it's not dominating the rest of that side, is it?
Exactly. And there's a story that goes around. It's not a story, it's true. But around Wales, because I'm not sure how well known it is outside, but this squad, they have a WhatsApp group. And when Gareth Bale goes back to Real Madrid, he's front and centre of that. He doesn't go back to Spain, disappear and go and be a superstar and leave Chris Gunter and Hal Robson-Kanu to do what they do back in the Championship and then come back for a Wales squad and be your big time. He's front and centre of this group. They're talking through what's happening week in, week out. How did you get on, mate? What's been going on?
Really?
Looking forward to joining up. He's front and centre of this. And he's at the centre of the team because he's one of the top five footballers in Europe, no question. But he is, personality-wise, he's at the core of this group. The skipper's fantastic. The camaraderie between the players is great. But when your superstar wants to be the man in the middle of this, keeping everyone together, checking they're all okay, if a lad misses out through injury, he's the first one on the phone to them to say, we're going to miss you. Right, see you next time. When you've got a lad who's willing to put himself aside to do stuff like that, it makes such a massive difference. So I can't emphasise how big a part of this he is before you get onto the fact that he's really, really good at football. and then the other thing to say about him is that the passion that you see from him, this is a lad who, Harry Redknapp tells a story that he gave him a weekend off from Spurs once. He told him to go away and get some done. Go and relax. And he got on the first train back to Cardiff and went and saw his mum. And that's what he does. There's no big time element to him. He loves home. It was difficult for him going to Spain. I think you saw that probably second season more than first season, but he struggled with the move. And even London was difficult for him. Every time he got a day off, he was back in Cardiff. He was back with the family. He's just a normal kid who went to just a standard Welsh school, found it difficult moving away to Southampton, found it difficult going to Tottenham. And this country is his home. He's not someone who's kind of left it and forgotten it.
Yeah.
Everything Gareth Bale does is about where he's come from, coming through Whitchurch High School, doing everything that he's done to get there. And that all, he remembers it. And I think it makes such a massive difference when he's playing that this is his country.
All right, then, you know, as I say, Wales found a way. You feel as though Wales are going to be a difficult side to beat, George. They feel like they've got two goals to them at any time. You must expect to qualify from the group now. And, you know, just out of interest, what do you think the limit is for this Welsh side?
To frustrate the hell out of everyone, I think, is the aim. Because we're not nice to play against. You've got the back three, you've got win-backs, which straight away causes problems for everyone because it does people's heads in. They don't know how to play against it. They don't know who's going to be where at any given time. You've got Bale, he can play up front, he'll play in behind. It changes throughout the game. I think in the 10 qualifiers, we played 6 different systems, and we're happy in all of them. So as the opposition manager, trying to figure out which one we're doing at any given time, dealing with it, it must be such a challenge for the opponent. So if we can, I'm not going to make any big claims about England or Russia. I'm going to keep my head down and we'll do what we'll do. And I don't think going forward, the players will make too many big claims ahead of Thursday. They'll just get on and do what they need to do and see where it takes us. But we've got a great chance now to get out of the group. Once you're out of there, I don't think you want to play us because we'll frustrate the life out of you. We can keep the ball. We'll sit back in when we don't have it. And then we've got a couple of lads at the top of the pitch who will create havoc if we can get on the break, if you overcommit. So if you can get into the round of 16 and if you can then push it one further, I think we could be a real pain. Like we've got to get there, and we're not there yet by any means. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a really, really tight group. With the beer flew everywhere when Russia equalised, but the logic actually said that it might have been better if England had just won it, and you had two on three, two on zero, and then you could go ahead with that. Having two teams that can now get onto four is actually a bit of a pain. So we've got to go and do something against Russia. England feels like a bit of a freebie, but if we could do something against England, the belief and the passion behind the team would rocket. And I think we could be a really dangerous proposition. But I don't want to make too many big claims because it's just as easy that we lose the next two and we're coming back home in a week.
It is indeed. All right, brilliant to hear from George Dugdale talking about Wales there. We'll be back with more of this Euros talk after this. This is our Euro special here on Radio City Talk. Welcome back to it. And, you know, this is, we're going to talk to Craig Hannan in a little while about Northern Ireland and their limitations, but how much they're all enjoying themselves. I hope they are. But what's caught your eye so far, gents? I mean, what struck me, Dave, was the extent to which, and the manager even makes it, you know, it's a bold substitution from Deschamps. Takes Pogba off. It's meant to be the Pogba tournament, this one. It's been in your diary, is that, for 4 years, if you're French. He takes Pogba off, puts Payet in the centre of the pitch, and... I mean, I thought he was the best player on the pitch before that point. Everything still comes through, and he goes on, he scores the winner. I just felt like he outshone all of his French teammates by a million miles even before the goal.
Yeah, each time I see him, he impresses me a little bit more, and that's probably to do him a little bit of a disservice, because I generally used to think that he had a limitation, this lad, of going to West Ham initially being one of them. And then last season, he was fantastic in the Premier League. Obviously, we know his specialities at dead balls and whatnot, but... his technique, his touch, finesse, he's everything you want to see in a midfield player that can affect that can affect the game. I thought France in general, it was all very much hard work for them. They very much looked like a side that hadn't had a competitive game in a long, long time. It took a while for them to get going. Thought they were very laboured. You can see, I think teams are able to get at them defensively. Their back four and the full-backs in particular, I think, will be their downfall.
Romania, Dave, were... better, I think, than people were expecting. Certainly more solid. I mean, they look like a side that had only conceded two goals in qualifying, and I know a lot of the qualifying groups were not difficult, but to only concede two goals, they did look relatively solid. Apart from the goalkeeper for the opener, with Giroud. Apart from that, they looked like a solid unit. They don't look like they've got a ton of goals in them themselves going forward. So if you're French, you would be mildly concerned how easy they actually found it to carve out some pretty decent openings. I mean, you know, it wasn't as though the Romanians were doing anything spectacular. It was more they were just capitalising on sloppiness.
Yeah, I think that's been a general rule for the tournament so far. I think there's a lot of these sides, it was solid. Turkey was one I was looking at as well, very, very similar in terms of a goal scoring threat. They don't pose too much damage on paper. I think Romania scored 11 in 10 games in qualifying. They're not free scoring to say the least, but they still cause France plenty of problems. So it doesn't bode well for them going forward, France in particular. But Romania, I don't think they're a dead horse in the group at all. I think, and it's probably been the overwhelming feeling of the tournament so far. It's all been very predictable, I think. I don't think there's been too many.
That's
shocks.
Why the Wales match was big, because it's the one where you felt that could go either way and define something, whereas practically everything else has gone, broadly speaking, as you would expect.
That and the England results for how England played, they should have won the game, conceivably. But I've really enjoyed it so far. I think it's been a really good tournament.
It's been fun, hasn't it? Yeah. I mean, you know, Germany, good, not great. Again, fascinating, really, in that, you know, I was watching the game with Steve Graves yesterday, and he actually said it looked like the sort of tournament went all the way through. You're going, I don't really know who's going to win this. And eventually someone is going to.
Just games.
Yeah, it's just games. Yeah. And, you know, it's not, for instance, like Spain in the Euros in 2008, where it just sort of looked from about three games in, like, oh, they're going to absolutely stroll this. This looks like it could be, you know, effectively we're all going to be. It's a bit like Leicester, when you're always saying, I don't know who's going to win the league, and it's all the way through the season, and it transpired the team who were top at Christmas did. Yeah. And I can see there being an element of that. Someone's going to have to win it, that's the way it's going to work, but it really could be any one of already of 6 to 10 teams.
It could be. I mean, we're still obviously in the very early stages, and it feels a little bit like a phony war at the moment. The way they set the tournament up, we've got an entire group system of 24 teams, and we're going to get rid of 8. So we're only getting down to 16. It's not 32 to 16, it's 24 to 16. So I don't think there's a great deal of commitment or exertion from anyone as yet. I think it's also been noticeable that defences that you would expect to be fairly solid have looked less than solid. Mm. Defences don't look amazing, and the forwards don't look amazing at the moment. It seems to be a very midfield tournament as we stand. I mean, for France, I was quite impressed by Pogba. I thought Pogba was having a decent game in his own unpredictable, I'm going to do something strange way. But I liked Matuidi. I thought Matuidi was putting a hell of a shift in that game. Yeah. I thought he was notably doing a lot. Payet was obviously the best player on the pitch, and probably the best player we've seen so far. But then watching Germany didn't look as solid as I expected them to. They did. They weren't penetrating as much as I expected them to. It doesn't feel tentative, but it doesn't feel as if anyone's really pushing yet. There's nobody that stood out going, they're the ones. They look fantastic. Although I do think Germany have looked the most impressive so far for me in terms of organisation.
Out of the teams that we've spoken about that have lacked goal-scoring threats, I think it's blatantly obvious that Germany are the one that missed that the most. I think you look at the chances they had against the Ukraine. I think the one where Khedira goes through after that fantastic ball from Kroos, striker puts that away. Yeah. Muller didn't look a threat in as much as what we'd like to see him or we've usually seen him.
And that Gertl lad's terrible. He should tell him.
Yeah, they should give him away.
Just get rid.
Yeah, Bosman.
Muller looked, again, the other thing I had my eye on throughout these early games was the lads who were at the very much at the top end, the elite European players. Muller, to me, and it might just be his demeanour, what he looks like. He actually looks like a lad who's had a long season. That's what I thought.
The staff from Danny Murphy was unbelievable. I think in the last sort of six or seven seasons, he's only missed 14 games.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable. And he did look a bit weary, Neil. I think he didn't look sharp. It was very workmanlike from the Germans, wasn't it? Obviously, Cruz was absolutely brilliant in his forward passing and his range of passing. But it was a bit too workmanlike from Germany. Although, at the end, I mean, a 2-0 win, he did, no pun intended, cruise to it in the end.
It's job done, isn't it? That's all you want. And the bizarre thing of seeing Schweinsteiger be the fastest man on the pitch, which had not been seen for probably about a decade. It was a cracking goal. It was a great break. And it was a magnificent interception from the lad whose name I couldn't remember while I was watching the game, who played for Everton for a week.
Mustafi.
Mustafi. It was a great interception because it was from a Ukraine attack. That was a great interception to set that break up.
Yeah, well, the athleticism was incredible, wasn't it? I was thinking, why has he gone at it like that? Because it was something like a drop kick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a kung fu kick.
Yeah.
It was an Alberto Moreno kung fu kick.
Incredible.
I felt Poland looked, if you're waiting for someone to fire, I thought Poland, I will talk to Craig about it from a Northern Irish perspective, but I felt if Poland had scored in the first 20, they might have gone and got five there. And I thought that, forget Lewandowski, I thought that Milik looked really good. I was very, very impressed with Milik. Gets the goal, misses a couple of chances, but he's involved in everything, Dave. I thought it was a really impressive performance from him.
Yeah, he's such a good link to the midfield, and like he was saying, in a tournament so far that has been dominated by midfields, he looks like one who'd be that key to breaking down defences and you know, opening the floodgates for some goals to be scored. Poland were as good as they were allowed to be. I think Northern Ireland probably the worst team I've seen so far, with all due respect to Craig, who we're getting on in a bit. But
I think he said that himself before the ball was kicked.
Yeah, and you know, I was sitting there first 10 minutes and I thought, I'm waiting for this Northern Ireland side that's top of the group, and then you sort of do put it in context and think, well, they're here because maybe the group wasn't the best. And again, not to be disrespectful to them, but it was like a League One side, as we said on Thursday, playing against Premier League, Champions League opposition. That being said, they are very strong at the back. I think Johnny Evans was really, really good. McCauley as well, two West Brom lads, so Pulis would have been made up. They just lack any sort of threat going forward, don't they? I mean, the best effort on goal was Lafferty doing five keep ups and trying an overhead kick from about 25 yards out. I think that, and then the Davis run that he made in behind for the free kick, which he just didn't get onto. That I think will be their narrative for this tournament. The one that's just gone a bit of a tangent here, the team that's impressed me most has been the one we said could be the dark horses in Croatia. I think, again, talking about midfields, they've got everything to me. I thought Turkey, particularly with Toran, the midfield, they've got really combative midfield. And Croatia wandered the way around. I think Modric was brilliant. Rakitic was brilliant. Perisic on the flank as well.
Perisic looked real. Perisic looked like a lad who's got real numbers in him.
Yeah.
Got goals and assists in equal measure. I mean, he was on four. He should score, if we're honest. But his movement's terrific, Dave.
Yeah, he is. He's a fantastic player. And I looked at them, and there's a wealth of talent in that side. I think in the commentary, whoever it was commentating on it, said their manager sort of said we need to get to the final or bust type of thing. I think that's a terrific attitude to have with the players, with a side that's got such quality in them, that you would think, well, if he gets to the final, it's not actually too much of a surprise.
Well, Modric is sheer quality anyway. I think Rakitic is probably one of the most underrated players in Europe at the moment. He's a fantastic footballer who is doing a great job when called on in a team that has absolute superstars in front of him, so he doesn't get recognised for the job he's doing. But I missed the Croatia game last night. I wish I'd seen it. But they always have been a strong team.
Yeah.
For me, I think the best performance I've seen from any team so far of what I've seen was Germany. I just think Germany look like a team who can take the step up, and they look like a team who can control the game when they need to. And they did, as you said, once again, the same thing. They did cruise to that victory in the end, but they did it by controlling for long periods, and I think they're going to be able to do that. I think they're a team that will grow through the tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the case. England interesting, good first 45, but it's worth pointing out second 45 they needed a set piece to open the score, and it's a great free kick, don't get me wrong, but it's more that it felt like a goal was coming, but you weren't quite sure where it was going to come from, and I thought you'd see more from Kane. I thought he was probably the most disappointing England player on show, I felt, across the 90 minutes, because he's had such an excellent season, but you just felt like he couldn't get himself into it. Other people, opportunities were dropping to other people where you want Harry Kane on them, Dave. And as I say, England deserved, they deserved to go in at half time, they deserved to go in one, maybe two goals ahead. They didn't, and they ended up dropping points.
Yeah, they didn't, but the thing is, and we sound like we're a broken record in terms of criticising Hodgson here, but that was all too obvious that firstly Kane wasn't firing, and also the goal didn't look forthcoming. As many chances England had, you didn't think, oh, that's an absolute sitter here. They had possession, they had territorial advantage, I thought Lallana was good. But then you look and you think, get Vardy on. You've got Daniel Sturridge sitting on the bench there, wasting away, and he's fresh as a daisy as well. Put him on, stretch their back four. They were absolutely awful as well. They were probably the worst side I've seen. No, Albania were poor against Switzerland. And I know we've spoken about Northern Ireland. I think I've said
this. The biggest disappointment, Russia. You expect more from Russia. You expect a Russian side to actually be quite good. They were last.
The lad they've got up front just didn't look mobile at all. I mean, he must have. I didn't see him break into a sprint all night long. And it just goes to show, doesn't it? England can see from a set piece in the end. It's traditional England. But
you can see a couple in-game management was shocking beforehand.
Yeah. The in-game management was pathetic.
The in-game management was detrimental to the whole team, because I think we had an excellent first half. Looked really good. I know there were people on Twitter who were slating Sterling. I thought Sterling came in and out of the match, but he was on the edge of a man of the match performance. I thought Lallana was excellent. But it was clear that the man in the middle wasn't getting anywhere near the ball. And then you play that well for 45 minutes, Hodgson gets you into the dressing room and destroys the whole thing, because they came out cautiously and they didn't play with the same attacking verve. And after an hour, you're looking at it going, you've got to make the change now. Now is the time. Vardy isn't firing. All you're doing with him is getting him to take corners. I'm not even going with Sturridge because of it. Any accusations of bias. Kane wasn't
firing. I'll eliminate that for you, Dean. Daniel Sturridge sitting there is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, Vardy should have been a sub. You should have had Vardy on the pitch. And then when he did make substitutions, to see how the game, that we were taking too much pressure in anyway, he made the wrong substitutions. Put Vardy on for Kane, at least you've got an out ball. He had no out ball the entire second half. It's absolutely pathetic management. It was as bad as he was with us, basically.
Well, he took Rooney off for Wilshere, didn't he?
Yeah.
How's that working, either shoring up a game or trying to get a second to kill it off? I'm not sure how that works.
My criticism on that one as well is that, and as I say, it's quite. If you want to be quite ale-house, for want of a better phrase, the one thing you could have said was, we'll add more height. You've seen Klopp do it at times this season at Liverpool, bringing Christian Benteke on, and then people asking him afterwards, saying, why did you do that, Jürgen? Well, it's because I wanted actually someone else to head it clear.
Yeah.
Whereas, Rooney Wilshere doesn't help you with that at all. And I think little things like that are very frustrating. But, putting that aside, I mean, going to Russia, I genuinely would expect them to lose to both Slovakia and Wales, which does put England in a bit of a sticky situation. I don't make that mistake very often. In a bit of a sticky situation, Dave. They will now need to certainly get something against Wales. A point isn't a bad result for them now against Wales, and just turn it all into a decided against Slovakia to reach 5 points. That'd be perfectly fine. But that pressure is now on, because, as I say, Russia to me look as though they could end up with only 1 point out of the group. It wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't at all. I don't think they offer anything going forward. I think I also like the lad at the back. He was about 65, wasn't he? As well. I just don't see
older side in the tournament.
I just don't see them having anything at all to trouble aside, which makes the ending to that game all the more comical from a Hodgson point of view. I think Wales is a dangerous fixture for England, because as much as Wales won't be able to surprise England as much as he did Slovakia with the aggression, with the pressing, with the confidence they played with, I think England might underestimate Wales and what they can do. And a point wouldn't be a bad result. It really would, because for our bad Russia, where you'd expect England, you'd expect England to beat Slovakia. And I know you think Slovakia are probably a better side than that, but I think England will fancy the chances more against Slovakia than they should do against Wales. I actually think the opposite is what they're thinking at this moment. They'll think Wales is the easier fixture.
Okay, this is Radio City Talk. We'll be back after this. fair to say we've got a man here who builds lots of things on rock and roll. Over in Northern Ireland, we've got Craig Hannon. He's still over in France. He's going to be there for all three group games, and we'll probably speak to him another couple of times about what Northern Ireland are doing. Craig is going to croak at us in the wind as he gets himself settled down here about Northern Ireland. I mean, we'll do with the thing you're in it for first and foremost, Craig. Did everyone enjoy themselves? Did everyone have a great time last night watching Northern Ireland there?
Very much so. The atmosphere was it was like nothing I'd really experienced. You couldn't move for knowing someone from home. It just seems like the whole country's over. We basically filled Nice. I saw about six Polish fans before we walked to the stadium. But it was brilliant. I saw the Guardian wrote an article today about it being the complete opposite to what was going on in Marseille. And you know, we were mingling with any Polish fans. They were stopping, they were hugging us, and it was just a brilliant day. It was everything we'd hoped up until the game, and I suppose during the game as well. The atmosphere was brilliant, and obviously we didn't get the result, but. For Northern Ireland, this isn't as much results business as just enjoying it. What could be a once in a lifetime holiday, really?
I think it is a once in a lifetime holiday. That's what it's massively going to be about, because you know, you wrote something for the Anfield app saying how the first 2 years you were watching Northern Ireland, they never even scored a goal. I think that that's a good place to be, in a sense, is having that set, is being able to enjoy it regardless. And there was a gulf in quality on the pitch though, Craig, and you could see it coming. I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that Northern Ireland are aware that the best chance they've got of getting out of this group is getting the win against Ukraine and hoping to get out in third place. Is that fair?
That's absolutely fair, and that's really, we're going into the game yesterday, and you've got the hope and the optimism, and maybe the optimism, it's over optimistic at times through beer and through just being excited and sort of in awe of the whole event, really. And you could see the first 5-10 minutes, it looked like we've been overawed. It looked like a team that hadn't played in a tournament like this. You know, our right back there plays for Fleetwood Town. And used to mark me at youth level. And I said in the piece, I never caused him any problems whatsoever in the 3 years that he played me. But so first 5 minutes, we could sort of see what was coming. It was nerve-wracking, really, and it just wasn't the start that we'd hoped for. And, you know, getting into half-time, our defence did, you know, as well, very well, considering that, you know, Poland were just all over us, and you could see the Colton quality. So we got into half time. We were happy just to get there, and really we just weren't creating anything. The thing that's made Northern Ireland good through qualifying is that we're very good without the ball, and we've learned to be very good without the ball over the last few years, because obviously teams will come and play us and they'll have all the possession, but usually we're able to sort of, you know, exploit any of their weaknesses or you know, carve out a couple of chances at least. And then Kyle Lafferty, who scored 7 in qualifying, has usually been able to put them away. But yesterday we didn't create anything. We never looked like creating anything. I think we had one shot on target. It was like you can see the golfing quality. They've got Lewandowski up front, and we've got Kyle Lafferty up front, and it was actually walking to the stadium where I met Gibbo in the centre of Nice, and we walked to the stadium, and we were walking alongside the Poland fans, and the Poland fans were singing a Lewandowski song, so I started to sing a Kyle Lafferty song to them, and they had sung their Lewandowski, and then we sang you can stick your Lewandowski up your, and I'll not say the next part. And it was just good fun between the fans, but like, we're under no illusions. We know exactly we know exactly what kind of team we are, and you know, maybe the optimism got the better of us yesterday, but it's it's one of those, we have to beat Ukraine now.
The last ditch defending, and a lot of it was last ditch. I mean, it wasn't quite as last ditch as the late Wales block, which is the truest. But it was that sort of stuff, Dave. You know, and
we've learned how to do last ditch for years, that's how it goes.
That's what I was going to say to Dave, Craig. You know, it's excellent last ditch defending. Mm. But the point is, it keeps having to come down to last ditch, and if that keeps happening, at some point, someone's going to put it in the back of the net, Dave.
Yeah, you're going to get caught out. After so many times of doing that, I mean, There'll be a point where Northern Ireland create a chance and get chances. And I don't mean that to sound patronising whatsoever to you, Craig. But I think that there's a lot more to this side than what you've seen against Poland. To you think there's a way Ireland can do themselves justice in this tournament because they topped the group. There's something there. Do you feel as if it was trepidation from Michael O'Neill in the first place, or do you think that Poland was simply that good that you couldn't muster up a few more chances?
Maybe a little bit of both, but we've played teams that are better than Poland, and we've got results against teams better than Poland, and when we've played those teams, the game's gone almost exactly the way it did in that first half, where they're all over us, and it's maybe a little bit last ditch, but usually we're able to muster up a chance and put it away, and yesterday we just didn't look like doing that. But you know, I thought O'Neill got a couple of things wrong. I wouldn't have started a right wing back, McLaughlin. He's the lad from Fleetwood. I would have put McNair there. And I think at halftime, I think he takes off McNair and he keeps McLaughlin on, and we were all sort of thinking, you know, McNair at the end of the day plays for Man United. Well, he plays every week or not, it doesn't matter. He's a United footballer. And McLaughlin looked as if he was struggling throughout. But yeah, a little bit of both. At the end of the day, every team that we come up with come up against in this tournament are going to be better than us, and it's up to us to rise above that. And like we've been through qualifying, because we come into this tournament with a team with the most unbeaten, with the longest unbeaten run. I think we've been unbeaten for 13 games, which, you know, it shows how far we've come. That, you know, I said in my piece that my first 2 years as a Northern Ireland fan, both home and away, we didn't score one goal. So you can see where we've come from, but yeah, it's probably a little bit of both.
Craig, given that O'Neill said that he thinks the occasion got to them a little bit, maybe they're a little overawed, is there any feeling that maybe that game was kind of a getting it out of their system sort of thing, and they might kick on a bit from there?
Maybe, because the first 10 minutes, that's exactly what it looked like, and that's exactly what it was. And, you know, I continued through the first half. I felt the second half we were a little bit better. And maybe it was just that getting used to this whole playing in the actual European Championships business. But that's what I'm hoping for. That's what we're holding on to anyway, that we can go into the game against Ukraine. And you know, we've got the experience now of the first game under our belt. And at the end, we only got beat 1-0. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. So hopefully now that's out of our system, and we can kick on and, you know, create a chance. That's all. And I think we were all walking away from the stadium yesterday, and just sort of a little bit deflated, but maybe think, look, just get a goal against Ukraine, and you know give them something to think about rather than just soaking up the pressure and hoping that we don't concede, because at the end of the day we go out of the tournament if that happens, because the chances of us beating Germany are very, very, very slim, and I am usually over optimistic. So it's all or bust really this week.
I think it's, in a sense, Dave, you know, the Northern Ireland know what they've got to do. They've got to find a way to get something against Ukraine. Ukraine didn't look terrific against Germany. They looked all right, but they looked like they might actually suit Northern Ireland to a certain extent, in that they look a little bit blunt in attack. So, you know, it might be the sort of side that Northern Ireland can break against, can sucker in a little bit, and then find a way to be explosive. It'll probably have Stephen Davis at the heart of it. I thought he looked like the best Northern Irish player by some distance. He is, isn't he, Craig? He is the best Northern Irish player by some distance.
Yeah, yeah, he was the one, you could see in the centre midfield, he was the one trying to get things going, trying to get things moving, and sort of trying to sort of, you know, claw something back from the game. He looked like he was always going to be that output, and he is key for us, he's absolutely massive for us. So, yeah, you're right, hopefully the Ukraine game, we saw a part of the game against Germany and they didn't look great. And if we can go in there, we're very good. Like, we are very good defensively, and we have been over the last 2 years under O'Neill. We don't concede very many goals. So if they're toothless and they're not looking like they're going to score, we can keep a clean sheet and you know, get a couple of chances this time. Because at the end of the day, well, you know, we had one shot and it was off target. Sorry, my voice is going here. We had one shot and it was off target yesterday, and it needs to be far better. All it was long balls, and I've not seen us play like that for a couple of years. It was just long balls, not winning it, and there was no one close enough to Lafferty that if he did win it, that we were getting on the ball. So I'd like to see him go two up top and just go for it.
getting someone around lefty Dave Downey is going to be the important thing here, isn't it? And I think if they can do that, then they have got a chance of getting something against Ukraine.
Absolutely. They need to be more expansive. That's there for all to see. And I think, obviously, doing that against Germany is not going to do you any favours. But against Ukraine, it is a distinct possibility. They look fragile at the back. Like you said, they look quite blunt in attack. You can try and nullify Yarmolenko and Konoplyanka on the other side. I think there's every chance Ireland can get something in that game. Certainly a win isn't beyond the realms of possibility. I just think, from what I've seen, I think there's plenty of scope there to start going for it a little bit more. I think those first game nerves that I spoke about earlier in the show about Wales, that I thought would be there, that was the case with Northern Ireland, I thought. And I hope that they open up and don't leave anything out on the pitch against Ukraine.
Okay, huge thank you to Craig Hannah for coming on and croaking at us. Huge thank you to George Dugdale earlier on as well about Wales. Good to hear from him. And Ian Salmon and Dave Downey here in the studio. Enjoy the Euros. Enjoy the rest of the games. We'll be back on Radio City Talk on Thursday, daily through the Anfield Wrap. That's what we're doing. This is the Euros. It's a feast of football. Enjoy yourself. Craig Hannah is.